fantastic Feline Friday. My cats rule. What do they growl?
Wow.
Wow is right. As usual, wow is not an understatement. Well, the CFL hasn't been that busy this week, but we've reported what could be reported. The roster changes haven't been that many. They haven't been aplenty. This weekend's going to be a big deal for, of course, we're waiting for Chad Owens to strap on the gloves, I guess. They dance basically in shorts, and he's going to take on his opponent. I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to see it. I got to tell you, you know, I have a vested interest in that man's good health. But that's beside the point. It's Feline Tiger Cat Friday. That's right. We're going to be talking to D. Webb, cornerback for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, former Argonaut, traded just before they won the Grey Cup. Now, I don't know if anybody wants to talk about the Combine. You can call in and educate me if you like on your opinion on the Combine. If not, we'll carry on, do what it is that we do. And one of the things that we do is we talk a little bit about the CFL as far as what's cooking in the CFL. And right now, it looks like BC is pretty much the only one that's busy. Patrick Kabongo was signed to an extension yesterday. Of course, he is a rather important, large part of the BC Lions. Now, if you're the Toronto Argonauts, as I said, you're hoping that Mr. Owens will be careful. If you want to read a full article, all you do is go to CFL.ca, and you will find some information on the fight, you know, and if you haven't, down the road, you'll be able to basically read the story of Chad Owens, how he has trained in preparation for his MMA fight, and you'll be able to have a look at it. Now, the more successful he is in the ring, the more fun it'll be to watch his training. So we wish him a lot of luck. And, you know, Owens isn't entering the ring with his eyes closed. He knows how the Argos feel about it. I'm sure he knows how his wife feels about it. I'm sure his family and even his extended family have backed him up on this, or however they have. It's going to be an interesting thing. All you have to do is get on Chad Owens' Facebook page, if he has one. I don't think he has a Facebook page. I think he has a Twitter page. I know his wife, Rena, has it. I guess you'll be able to see some of that stuff with him. Now, we talked about also Drew Tate has taken to the squared circle, or the octagon circle. And he's doing it based on the fact that he feels he needs to be more better prepared, if that's two words that belong together, for the upcoming season. Now, he's not going into the MMA yet. That's not his thing. But we do know that Chad Owens is. And we also know that management's concerned. And I think a lot of the Argo fans are concerned as well, because he is a key component in the Argos offense. And, of course, special teams, which is really where he really originally, you know, that was his claim to fame. So, you know, we wish him a lot of luck. The CFL, of course, as we said, the combine ended. We've been talking to players two at a time on Wednesdays, for those of you that are unaware. We talked to two players every Wednesday. This week we'll be changing things a little bit. We probably might add an existing playing CFL player as well on that night and take a little more pressure off the long conversation that we have with the young players. Now, neither of them has complained. Neither of them has, you know, has suggested the interviews were too long. We're here for them. That's who we're here for. I know you folks find it hard to believe, but that is true. And those players, hey, one of them is going to become really famous, and most of them are going to work really hard to be just as famous. But that's not why we have them on. We have them on because we want you to get to know them. Now, if any of those players should be drafted, you will be able to go into Blog Talk Radio, and you will be able to pull that interview just to hear a bit about that player in our interview. I'd like to call it an in-depth interview because it probably is, but really what it is, it's a relaxed interview, getting to know a football player and helping a football player get to know the media. As crazy as that sounds, that's what I'm here for. I'm not looking for any paydays here. On a personal level, I live with a condition, and it doesn't allow me to go out much. And so I bring the outside world to me. It is the best way for me to deal with it at this time. And I don't mind sharing it. And the reason I don't mind sharing it is because I got involved with the CFL. When I got involved with the CFL, it became abundantly clear that the players are a caring bunch. These players have concerns about the community. And they have, when you consider, you know, how much they get paid and how much they care about the community, in my mind, they must be earning billions of dollars because what they're paying back is far more than what they get. And that's what sparked this program, and that's why I do it. And if you think I'm kidding, keep listening, and you'll find that we're more of a, I want to get into the soul of the Canadian Football League instead of the gutter. And that's what I want to do. And today, we are really going to reach into the soul of a Hamilton Tiger Cat, D-Webb. D-Webb, college in Florida, played in Miami, played in Florida. And he was a very big prospect, moved on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then spent some time here in Toronto, and then even moved over to this wonderful side that we're on tonight, the Ticats. He joined Oski Wee-Wee and the Bunch, and he just got an extension. So, you know, Hamilton's very happy with the way he plays. So for those of you Hamilton fans that would like to talk to D-Webb on the other side of this break, we'll have him on. All right, folks. D-Webb, Hamilton Tiger Cats, our first guest. And then we'll be bringing in his mentor, Quincy T. Hart. So we'll be back after this. And, I can't play that. Oh, my goodness. I got to find something that's more appropriate for tonight. Oh, I can find something really appropriate for tonight. This is the Hamilton Belston Elementary School, singing about bullying.
Staring in the mirror, looking at these tears, a thousand shattered pieces, I'm drowning in my fears. Do I need someone to love me? I'm feeling lost without a hope. Do I need someone to guide me through this storm? I don't care what people think. I don't care what they are saying. I will stand against the wind. I will choose my path.
Walking down this open road,
there's so many possibilities. The doors will open up for me. I will choose my way now, leave my fears behind me.
Hello. 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 I'll take a short break. We'll find out what else is going on.
What is your football fantasy? I know what mine is. What is your football fantasy? Winnipeg fans can let you know one way or the other how things are going and what their opinions are. We understand that it's the fans that are the lifeblood of this league. It's great to play in an area with a community that cares very much. I tell you, Barbados has to be one of the most pristine environments I've ever seen. They're some of the nicest beaches I've experienced in my life. And the people here are extremely accommodating and friendly. It's interesting to see, you know, the different dynamics and the personality when you take the pads and the helmets off. You really get to know the guys, you know, from surfing with them to grabbing some rum punch later on in the evening or going on a safari jungle tour.
Hey.
I'm looking forward to teaming up with some great fans from Winnipeg. I guarantee you'll have a good time.
Hello. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty, and we'll see if we can do something to help out here. Let's try this. D, hello, you in there? Hey, how's it going, Quincy?
Hey, it's going pretty good. How you doing?
I'm having a bit of difficulty getting a hold of D. I'm trying to call him, but it's not hooking up like it did with you, buddy.
Huh, that's odd.
Yeah, it is odd.
He just called me a few minutes ago and told me that you'd probably be giving me a call.
Yeah, I tried calling him twice, and we didn't hook up. But what I'll do is, if he can hear me, the phone number is 714-242-5250. He can call me in here on our U.S. line, and we can talk to him. So hopefully he's listening, and we can do that. You know what I'll do? I'll put a message on Facebook with I already gave him the number. Yeah, it's on Facebook. So if he calls you, it's okay to hang up on me. Now, what I'll do is, I'll tell you what, why don't you give him a call, let him know that I'm trying to get a hold of him, and look on his Facebook. There's our number there. I'm going to play something about you. I believe in your little speech. Well, first, let me introduce you properly, okay? I'm referring to you now as one of D. Webb's mentors. You got his back. You got his back, and you helped support him. You've been with him and a part of his life, and you've been helpful to him since he's been in high school. Do I have that right?
Yes, sir.
And what you're about is explain to us what you're about. Basically, you believe that and the word believe is important in your process, that we all have in us the ability to move forward.
Right. When I started the I Believe in Me movement, it was to just inspire everybody to give their all and really push past what it is that they thought that they couldn't do. And I've created a band, and it has I Believe in Me on it. And for me, I Believe in Me is self-belief times a million. And also I have a stopwatch on it that reads 1440, and there's 1,440 minutes in a day. Don't waste them, because time you don't get back. So always be moving forward and pushing towards your goals and your dreams. On the inside of the band, I have passion and persistence. Without passion, you'll never be good, and without persistence, you'll never be great. So whenever you can take all those entities and put them together, you're really setting yourself up for a very successful life or a very successful journey by believing in yourself, not wasting time, being passionate about what you do, and also very persistent. So that's one of the things I preach to kids. I preach to folks who are going out trying to start their own business, young athletes, people actually dealing with addiction. And I've actually had a chance to kind of really travel the country from coast to coast, up as far as Canada and down to New Mexico, and really just share that mission with folks. And being that it's coming from somebody who wasn't, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth or anything like that. You know, my parents really took care of all of my needs, but it was up to me to go out there and get the wants that I wanted. And through believing in myself and really being passionate, persistent, and sharing with others and being able to inspire others, it's really like living a dream right now.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play your statement, your mission statement, if you will, from your webpage. And we'll be back in a minute. I'll see if I can get D on. I'll see what I can do about getting him on in about a minute and 12 seconds, because that's all I got.
Okay.
And this is a prepared version of what Quincy did. So this should sound a little bit quicker and more on pace, but it's, again, just a repeat of what Quincy just said right now, but a more prepared version, if you will. See you in a minute, folks.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student, that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me, therefore I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
Okay, D's not answering his phone right now. Maybe he got cold feet. Maybe he got cold feet, Quincy.
I hope not. I just sent him a text, but he hadn't hit me back yet. But
that's no worries.
I don't think he's a cold. Yeah, he's not a cold foot guy.
I wouldn't think so. That was a bit of kidding. Well, I don't want to talk about him without him being on here. So if we can talk in generalities until we can work out our connection with them, you know, people have a life. It goes on. D might be busy with something right now that he can't help, and we'll give him all the time in the world to work that out. And like you said, we can't waste any time. Time goes by. So this is our opportunity to talk about your thing. And in general, how did you begin – you spoke about your parents being there for you, in other words, to supply the roof over your head, the food, and the opportunity to be educated. But the rest, which you referred to were your wants, were up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
How soon did you realize that that was the way life worked?
At a very young age, my grandfather as far as when I first remember working and going after my dreams and goals is outside of what my parents were able to provide for me. 11 years old, went up to Newberry, South Carolina, spring break. My grandfather woke me up at 5:00 in the morning, said, "Come on, let's go." My granddad was a gentleman. He owned his own lawn service. And after five days of work, waking up early, working all day in the heat, I earned $150, and that was probably the first $150 that I ever really earned. And I knew that from that point, you know, work was the only way to get what you wanted. So I've been working really ever since. Started working, came back to Jacksonville, cut a couple yards around my neighborhood, expanded that, had my dad drop me off in different neighborhoods to cut grass, and kind of built up a business from that. When I was able to get a job, I've been working literally ever since I was 14. And I had a chance to go off to college and had a chance to meet with a couple of professors, and they really explained to me, working is good, jobs are great, but if you want to live the life that you want to live, create your own business, and don't be dependent on somebody else on your source of income. And since that, you know, I just tell everybody, you know, go out there, follow your passion, because there's a lot of different ways to get paid. But whenever you're doing something that you really enjoy doing and you're making a difference, it's not light work.
Now, obviously, you're keying on a very important factor that maybe some people react differently to, and that is that first $150 you earned triggered something in you that made you realize that if I do something, I get something.
Uh-huh.
But now that sounds simple enough, but how do you explain to people that $150 is enough? Do you find that there are people out there who maybe, that have higher expectations right off the top, like at the very beginning, you know, as soon as they start? And how do you help them to understand that life's a gradual progression?
One of the major things I preach is consistency. And, you know, we all, like I said, we all have dreams, we all have aspirations. Let's say you're looking for that $100,000 income. Well, the first job that you get, I almost guarantee you're not going to go out there and make $100,000 plus a year. You might start off at 30. You take that, you take the knowledge that you learn from that 30, and you go after a $40,000 job. You take that knowledge, you build upon it, you go after a $50,000 a year job. And every time you get a new job, you make sure that you take what you learn from that and you input it into your next job to catapult you and take you to the next level. And that is one thing. It's crazy you say that. A lot of folks think that it is easy, that you just jump out there and you have the job of your dreams, the life of your dreams. It takes consistency. It's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it.
So as big as the rock is, as long as you can get it moving, that's all that really matters. Uh-huh. And you have to consistently keep it rolling, because keeping a ball rolling is a lot easier than starting and stopping and starting and stopping. That's
yes,
what you
sir.
Mean by consistency,
yes,
right? So,
consistency.
So if,
uh-huh.
And the consistency also refers to the effort that you put in. And that's what you're referring to, the consistent effort, the consistent level of expectation, all that stuff, so that you can move forward. And some people are lucky, Quincy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and let's face it, people like D are given, not D in particular, you know, athletes, movie stars, these people create almost an expectation for other people that is unrealistic.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that's got to be one of the biggest challenges you have? You know, like here, for example, we have schools where people can learn the trades, right? And they can make $100,000 a year, you know, in trades, but it doesn't look cool. So how do you convince people that cool isn't important? It's that gratification that's bigger than cool.
See, that's kind of okay. Tough, and it's crazy because me and D just talked about entitlement the other day. And sometimes, especially athletes, actors, they feel a certain level of entitlement because of what they've accomplished in one arena. Well, sometimes what you've accomplished in one arena doesn't mean anything in the next arena, and it's really, really tough for somebody who's reached that level of success to have to kind of bump themselves back down and humble themselves and start over in a different arena.
Now, D, for example, has been a very talented, you know that he's been a top-notch ball player from day one. The colleges went after him. He had a great reputation. And, you know, and from our perspective, from the perspective of those of us that follow D to the extent that we follow him, he's had a very blessed life. He's been very fortunate, you know, where his ability has been established, and it seems easy to us on the outside. And not to talk about D specifically, but explain to us other people who, how can you help somebody who looks like they're being successful, and on the outside, but on the inside, there's a terrific battle. What don't we see that makes them work?
I'm going to kind of step back and put the emphasis on D a little bit with that. I met D he had to be 12 years old. My sister and his girlfriend were best friends. Didn't know the type of athlete that he was until he actually got to Ed White. And one of the things that a lot of folks don't know is, you know, D was a sophomore when he got to Ed White, and we were seniors. And he jumped in, or actually we pulled him over into our group. So, you know, he was working out with seniors. He was working out with upperclassmen. He was doing weight that, you know, other guys his age were not doing. So it was his work ethic and his fearlessness that allowed him to really, you know, stretch beyond where his ability had put him at. And it's really kind of been unbelievable that, you know, he just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. But it was definitely his work ethic that catapulted him further and allowed him to really, you know, be excel in sports at a young age. But he definitely had a will. He got down there in the trenches with us, and he was like, hey, you know, I'm a young guy coming in. You guys have definitely set the standard, and whatever you guys tell me to do, I'm going to do. So whenever you don't have all the skill necessarily at first. You have to be humble and be willing to let somebody coach you and push you to the next level. And that's one thing that D definitely did.
And he became successful because of that hard work.
Yes, sir. And that ability that, you know, he really humbled himself because, you know, he could have came in as an arrogant, cocky freshman because, you know, he was on varsity. But he sat down with us. He was like, man, you guys are the leaders. Whatever it is that I can do, however it is I can help the team, you know, I'm willing to do it. So, you know, we worked him like it wasn't nobody else's business. And I remember the first time he came in and stepped in on the varsity field was a playoff game against Rutherford. And he came in and he made an explosive play on special teams. And since that day, he never looked back. He always played on another level.
Well, the man you're talking about might be waiting to get on right here. I think I might have hooked up with him, Quincy. Let's check it out.
Okay. All right.
D, buddy, the phone's still ringing. I thought I had him. Phone's still ringing.
Man.
Well, that's me phoning him, and he's not picking up. I hope he's okay anyway, because I just spoke to him, an hour ago. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's me.
Yeah. I hope he's okay. That's the most important thing. The embarrassment of not having him on the show is minor. What matters is that he's okay. I hope he and his family are okay, and there's no emergency that he had to go. I hope he just lost his phone and can't find it. I've had that happen. Where I'm calling the phone and the guy's looking for it feverishly. Yeah, so he had a lot of ability. And, you know, in fairness to what you do, it isn't just about bringing somebody down from the doldrums or from, you know, from difficulty, you know, having a tough time. There are also people that need to understand about believing in themselves who are believing in the wrong way, who think too highly of themselves or think too highly of what people think of them. You know, the crews that are around people when they become famous, you know, in high school, the people who influence you while you're going to school, while you're playing on a football team, those people are dangerous, aren't they, as well?
Very, very. I see a lot of people who get kind of engulfed in their entourage, where their entourage says they should be doing what they shouldn't be doing. But I warn people about this. Your entourage will lift you up, and then whenever you crash, they'll be the first ones to, you know, be there sitting there kind of standing, laughing, saying, ha ha, I told you so, because those are not always the folks who were, you know, in it for you 100%. They were in it for what you represented. And D has also had a little piece of that. You know, he's been a very strong person because, you know, those same folks who lift you up, they'll bring you down. And he's had a chance to experience a little bit of that. He's been very strong through that process also.
Is there a difference between the way you handle a teenager, a young adult, and an older adult, and what the differences would they be if they are to treat it differently?
I would have to say the way you treat an adult, in my opinion, I think you have to give an adult a little bit more tough love. Because they've seen some things, but at the same time, they're adults. So they're a little older. They should know how to handle things a little bit differently. As a teenager, I really focus on giving them a lot of inspiration and motivation and giving them, you know, some things that I've been through so they can see that it's not always as easy as sometimes their friends or TV shows it to be. One of the things I really like, I like the commercial that Michael Jordan did. He talked about, you know, everybody thought that it was easy for him, but, you know, a lot of folks don't even know that he got cut from his basketball team
in
the
high
very
school.
First time he tried out.
In high school.
And he got cut. I actually saw he got cut. A lot of folks don't know the story of Walt Disney. He went through trials and tribulations of, you know, failure after failure after failure. His father telling him he wasn't going to amount to anything. His father taking the small wages that he earned as a kid. You know, he just kept going. He kept going. He kept going. And eventually, you know, Walt Disney. I mean, who doesn't know what Walt Disney represents? But a lot of people don't know his story. So I tell a lot of folks, you know, go back and look at successful people and see what it was that they did, and they can move forward like that.
and it's important to them.
Yes, sir. It's very important because they get a chance to see that, you know, every success doesn't just start out successful. You know, some people got to start from the bottom and really humble themselves and work their way up.
Yeah, and some people just need to sometimes forget. It's hard. I have my own trials and tribulations, and I find it very I have difficulty leaving the house. That's my problem. I can leave when I'm going to family and things like that, but even to walk around my property is a little difficult. It's part of a condition that I have, and I'm trying to work on it. And, of course, situations, because let's say there are influences, what you deal with. I'm sure you deal with kids that run afoul of the law, you know, where they have trouble with the police. And when you have trouble, how do you pull? How does one pull themselves out when they feel like they're being attacked by the police, or the police are coming after them all the time? You know, how do you deal with that variable?
You know, I always believe in not playing the victim. I look at it like this: if the police are always coming at me, what am I doing to put myself in that position? You know, and that's really because, you know, cops are cops, and, you know, some of them are not as straightforward as the others, but the majority of cops are really good, and they do an awesome job of protecting our community. But if you're always being targeted, if you're always the point of their investigation, or you're always getting pulled over, it's probably not a coincidence. It's probably because they have good reason to.
So what kind of self-determination can a person make? Like, obviously, so if you feel like you're being targeted by the police, because it's just another version of, you know, the, oh, too bad for me, like, I can't be a success, I have problems that people are always coming after me. So to erase those issues, first of all, I guess what you're saying is you have to realize that you're doing something that brings them into the picture. And
right.
You have to identify what that is. So how simple is it to identify it for somebody who may or may not be willing to identify or admit to what they're doing wrong?
First thing you got to do is, I always say, you know, be humble and be willing to ask somebody else what it is that I'm doing wrong that I keep getting this negative attention. Because sometimes, even as people, we don't always see what it is that we do wrong, but we have to be honest to ourselves and trust in a friend, a brother, or a mentor to give us, to give us that advice to avoid some of the things that we're doing that we know kind of deep down in our heart that we shouldn't be doing, but we kind of enjoy doing them. So you have to kind of, you know, you have to be very humble and step outside of yourself and let somebody kind of mentor and guide you in the direction you should be going in.
And that guidance is not easy to come by. Sometimes, you know, like you were saying earlier, a person might be doing something minorly wrong, but be given such grief for it, they move on to the next step. What advice do you have then for the people with them? Like, for example, a young teenage boy falls in with the wrong crowd, right? There he is in the wrong crowd, and he's doing some stuff that's wrong. Okay, let's say all he's doing is smoking pot. Not that that's a minor thing, but in the general world of crime, it is a minor thing. How can the parents or the people who care about this person help them to overcome, you know, the obstacle that this can become?
Really, for me, it goes back to, you know, a little bit of research and finding, you know, the long-term effects on what, you know, per se marijuana can do to you. If you're trying to be a doctor, or you're trying to be a lawyer, or even a football player, weed kills brain cells. So if that's something that you're going to do on a consistent basis, you have to know that you might not be able to be as intelligent or as smart, or your overall learning capability might be diminished a little bit because of what you choose to smoke on a daily basis.
So rather than that it's a crime, concentrate on how bad it is for you.
Yes, sir. If you look at the long-term effects on it, you know, as an athlete or as somebody who's trying to be a scholar, it could really hurt you in the long term.
What are some of the other pratfalls in your mind, things that could set people back? Aside from that example of pot or that kind of behavior?
I would definitely say stress. Stress is one of those things. I had to learn to, you know, let it out, find somebody to share it with, find somebody to get a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of motivation from. Because if you hold it in all the time, you know, eventually it's gonna burn you up inside. You have to find a way to let it out. You have to find a way to vent. It's just like a fire. If you don't find a way to vent and let it air out, you know, it's gonna burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And eventually, you have to find a way to vent so you can get it out. Because if you keep it all inside, it's gonna eat you up. It's basically gonna eat you alive.
So that's the toughest thing that you have to overcome. So when, for example, a player is, for example, we had our combine here in Canada, right? You're down in Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We had a combine up here in Canada, in Toronto. We had one as well, and we have young football players showing their stuff to the CFL teams, right? What's the biggest stress reliever, you think, for those players when they go to the combine?
One of the biggest stress relievers is just to get out there and do it. I mean, they've been playing football for quite some time. They find joy in it. They really enjoy it. It's comforting to them. It's almost like even when I played football, and I played football in high school and in college, I would get really, really wound up prior to the game. But once I got on the field and I got that first bit of contact, it turned back into a game again. It was no longer stressful. It was just out there doing what I love, being the best at what it is I do at that particular time. So, you know, just to get out there on the field and give your all like that, to me, is a stress reliever.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take another break. If you want, you can do your best to see. You've texted D. And
yeah,
haven't gotten
I'm
gonna
give a call right now. See if I
okay,
can.
You know what? I'll give you. We'll take a little longer break than usual, and then let's see. Well, I'll give you about 2 minutes. How's that? And then I'll call you back if you want. All right.
Okay. Perfect. Yes, sir.
Okay. See you in a bit.
All right.
Here's let's see. It's Ty Cat. Come on. Let's do Ty Cat. Here we go. Ty Cat.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape. He was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us, and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Our guest tonight has been Quincy T. Hart. He's a good friend of D. Webb's. We've had trouble getting a hold of D. We hope D's okay and hope there's no problem. I spoke to him about an hour ago. He said he'd be on, and hopefully we'll get him back on again. And, of course, this is Feline Friday. Since we can't do Tie Cat Tuesday, this is Feline Friday, where the cats rule. I'll make my first call right now to... Who should we call now? I think I know I should call you. Let's see. And uh-huh. And uh-huh. And... Oopsies. This is what happens when you are not only the on-air dude, when you're also the guy in behind the glass, you know? When you're that guy, too, there's some things that you have to do. Might have him. Let's see.
Hey-o.
Aaron?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so I've had a little bit.
How you doing, Frank?
Well, I'm glad this one worked. I'm 2 for 3 now tonight.
Oh, that sounds like a decent record-ish.
Sure, if it's baseball. You know, if you're a goalie in soccer, that might not be so good. But that's neither here or there. So how are things going?
Good, and yourself?
Not bad. I got to get back to Quincy Hart.
Okay.
I don't know if you've had a chance to hear what's going on, but I'll bring you up to speed, up to speed as well as everybody else. Why don't you give me 2 minutes, and then we'll get in deeper after we take care of D. Webb and his partner Quincy T. Hart. Give me some words on your opinion on Chad Owens' MMA battle and who he's up against.
Sure, be happy to.
Go for it.
All right. What, right now? Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, now's as good a time as any.
No, I just found out about this tonight. It was actually kind of interesting to me. I just realized Chad was going to be fighting in an MMA fight a little bit later this year with Destiny MMA. I'm actually kind of surprised that the Argonauts would let him do something like that, but
they've asked him to be careful. In other words, it goes without saying, you know. They've asked him to be careful.
Keep the hand for a cup.
Yeah, you know. So you just found out about it tonight.
Yep.
I saw that you messaged me, so I assumed that you knew a little bit more about it. The fight's tomorrow, right?
Yes, as far as I'm aware, it is.
Can we watch it anywhere?
I was cruising by the Destiny MMA website to try to find out a little bit more about it. I know they've got a 3-minute preview video up for him, just him sitting there talking about new challenges and what have you. I'm actually, I'll be honest with you, I'm not too sold on the idea. I mean, I think it's nice that he's trying to diversify. I think he's got the physique. I think he's got the drive for it. But at the same time, there's a lot of risk that's involved.
I definitely believe there's risk, and the risk is his health. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, as much as people like to try to promote the fact that the MMA is a very safe sport, I'm not sold on that as much as you know. It's one thing, some guy you've never heard of, who's a fighter, who the media knows nothing about, you know, a bartender in a bar. And now this guy is fighting, and now he's got all this press. Once he has this fight, and until he loses, do we hear about these guys and the health of these guys after this? You know, after their career is over, after they've lost their fight or lost too many fights, do we hear about them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm wondering about. I know he's fighting Tavaga, and I know that it's. I'm not entirely 100% sold on it. That's that's my issue. I think it's nice that he's trying to diversify, but at the same time, I think the risk that he's taking is just a little bit too great.
Do you want to hear something funny? He left. We went on too long. I guess he didn't believe we were going to talk to him. Dee, we're going to talk to you. Sorry, but here I am playing. I'm playing phone tag, you know, and I'm losing the battle. I'm losing the battle big time. So I can't say anything to him. But you know what? This is Blog Talk Radio. We're going to do the best we can with what we've got. I'm going to give it another chance. Let's see. That's the right line. We'll give it a chance. This is like, you know, maybe we should give a prize if they answer the phone. What do you think?
That might be an idea, but what would you give away as a prize package?
I don't know.
4207-5847.
Hello? D, it's Frank calling. I didn't want that to be what was heard. Holy, can't win for losing, buddy. I'm telling you, can't win for losing. Well, anyway, we'll give him another shot. I'll give him another shot. And let's see now. Are they – it's not hanging up on me now, even though – how do I drop the call? Mayor, that's how I dropped the call. So I didn't drop the call on you, right?
No, I'm still here. I'm thinking to myself, though, he's fighting in a 170-pound welterweight class. If he has enough success, what are the odds you might see him fight GSP before GSP decides to hang him up?
Well, we do know that there would be a lot of interest.
847.
Got it again.
You're on a roll, Frank.
Yeah, man, that's just unhealthy. Well, I could try. Let's see if we can get his buddy back on. If we can get, maybe Quincy can explain. I hope everything's okay. You know, things happen in life, and sometimes things happen that we don't want to happen to us. So we'll give Quincy another shot, and then Quincy maybe can explain what's going on.
By the way, I want to apologize in advance to your viewers if you hear animals in the background. My dog has been rather vocal lately, and so has my fat cat, Aries. So if there's anything going on in the background, trust me, it's not anything untoward. It's just the beasts.
Hey, Quincy.
Hey.
I got you back, Quincy?
Yeah, you got me back.
I think I had D for a second, and now all I'm getting is an immediate answering machine. It's like the phone is dead.
Yeah, I was trying to call him. I also tried to call his fiance, and his phone just kept going straight to voicemail, and hers wasn't answering.
Okay, so I hope everything's okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, Aaron. Okay, so I got Aaron on here. He's one of my guys that we talk. He's a rather intelligent guy. And unfortunately, I don't think he heard what we were talking about prior. Did you, Aaron?
I heard bits and pieces, but unfortunately not all of it.
Okay. At the end of the day, Quincy T. Hart is a guy who helps people find their way. And he has a webpage called I Believe in Me. And a part of the I Believe in Me why don't you explain it, Quincy? I was trying to explain it as a person first time, you know, but you can explain again if you don't mind for our listeners that are peeking in right now, and for Aaron's sake.
Okay. Essentially, what I believe in me is helping people. Well, I base it on three principles: increasing self belief, creating an overall increasing self confidence, building self belief, and creating an overall positive self image. And really what that is as far as on the I Believe in Me part, self-belief is, in my opinion, the center of everything that we do. So you want to, you know, for me, I Believe in Me is self-belief times a million. If you take a look at anything I say, you'll see a lot of information talking about 1440. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. Don't waste them. And then also I talk a lot about passion and persistence. Without passion, you'll never be good. And without persistence, you'll never be great. So you take that all together, you know, like great. If you take that all together and you put it together, greatness is right in front of you. And then I always tell them this, it might not happen when you want it to happen, but as long as you're consistent and you keep moving towards your goal, eventually your dreams will come true.
You got that, Ed?
I heard that. That sounds very interesting. That actually sounds like something I could probably use in my own life.
Well, we all can use a bit of that. More me, probably more than the bunch of you. So essentially, we talked about the fact that we see that from our perspective, we think athletes have it simple because we see the athletes that, for whatever reason, have grappled with and succeeded in becoming successful. But prior to them reaching that successful goal, there's a lot of work that goes into them getting there. And the question I asked Quincy was, how do you help players recognize the right path? And Quincy, do you mind answering that again? And then maybe Aaron can ask you a question.
As far as players finding the right path?
People finding the right path. People. How do you recognize the right path?
I'm real big on finding what your passion is. If you, and my dad always told me this, find something that you enjoy doing so much that you would do it for free, but why not get paid for it? And, if you enjoy football and you enjoy playing it for free, but you can find a way to get paid for it, that's great. If you enjoy speaking to people and you would do it for free, but you can find a way to get paid for it, great. Anything that you would do for free, you can find a way to turn it into a source of income. That is because you know from the bottom of your heart that's what you really enjoy doing, because, of course, you would do it for free, but we've just found a way to get paid for it or to find a revenue stream off of it.
So you find a passion and then commit to that passion. You know, do a lot of hard work, consistently work at it, identify. The other thing we talked about is you have to kind of figure out what you want to do because you have to start somewhere. For example, whether it's a person, a volunteer, if you want to be in television, then you volunteer to be in television, be like a sponge, learn everything there is to do there. Wait for your opportunity to have that one little spot at 2 a.m. and you do well at that 2 a.m. spot. Then you get a spot at 10 a.m. in the morning until you get the opportunity where you get to be the main guy or main girl on that TV station. You work your way up. You don't expect to be that guy or gal right off the hopper. You have to consistently work towards your goal. Do I have it right, Quincy?
You hit it right on the head.
Right? And that's what you try to do. So, yeah. So, Quincy, any last words you have for us? And then, Aaron, you ask your question, and then we'll carry on with the rest of the show.
As far as last words, just find what it is that you enjoy doing and consistently go after it. Day in, day out, find ways to get better. And I'm real big on this. Find a coach. Find somebody that has done what it is that you're trying to do and emulate their every step, their every movement, because obviously they know how to get to where it is you're trying to get to. So if you don't have a coach, if you don't have somebody guiding you, it's possible for you to fall off the beaten path. So follow the people that it is that have done what it is that you're trying to do.
Aaron, your turn.
I was actually going to ask you about just that very thing, is the support network. I know there's a lot of people that I grew up playing sports with that unfortunately didn't continue. Some of them I thought could have been absolutely phenomenal hockey players. There were about three or four guys I can think of off the top of my head, but they never had the support system in place. That I'm going to assume then that is just as important as finding something you like and being able to do it, being able to find a way to get paid for it, though. It's sort of a self-answering question, and you guys kind of covered all of it already. But
you want to give that a shot, Quincy?
Would your organization be able to point me at people that would point me in the right direction to find
yes,
that I need?
I can answer that question. Yeah, go. No, you go ahead, Quincy. You answer it. You answer it.
Actually, that's one of the things I'm in the process of getting into right now is building a huge network of folks who are, athletes, track runners, basketball players, athletes, doctors, lawyers. I'm working on putting all that together. So whenever somebody comes to me and says, okay, Quincy, I hear what you're saying, but tell me how to get to where I need to get to, I'll be able to put them into contact. I'll be able to put them in contact with a person who is doing what it is that they dream and desire to be doing. That's,
okay.
Next step of I Believe in Me.
So that would
Quincy,
more...
I need you to find me an agent that can sell my beer league goaltending ass to a national lacrosse team.
well, so, there comes at some point we have to be a little realistic.
We can start
if you're a beer belly goalie, you know, the NHL might not be the place for you. You might want to look at being a coach and teaching somebody. You might be a little younger, a little less beer bellied, and help them, you know, how to do some, teach them how to do some of the things that you know how to do at this age, and just teach them, you know, at a younger age, and help them, you know, avoid some of the mistakes that you may have made and things like that.
See, my mistake was starting at 25.
I say that. Yeah, that might have been a little mistake. I tell everybody, you know what? Start as young as possible and work your butt off.
Okay, on a serious note, gentlemen, in answer to your question, okay, Aaron, I actually looked into his webpage, and what I will say is this. I Believe in Me is not only about athletes, doctors, and such. It has elderly people who have, whether they're psychiatrists or therapists, or whether they're people who are self-helpers, all age groups, all sexes. I didn't hear that, and I know Quincy, when you listen to this, you'll say, thank you, Frank, because that's in there as well. It's more general, but not as specific of getting you a goaltending job anywhere.
Fair enough.
Right? And so...
And
there are, on the webpage, if you go to I Believe in Me 1440, that's the webpage.
Okay.
You open it up, you will find it, and then you've got Quincy that does a little introduction, which I played on this show, of what it is that motivated him to do this. And to make a long story short, there are a lot of wasted lives out there that need not be wasted. And this program and this thing that Quincy does is something for young people and people in general who have fallen for whatever reason on hard times, and now have an opportunity to think about themselves and you know, basically help put themselves back together again so they believe in themselves, so that they can carry on in life and not have any wasted time in their life. They can find something that will motivate them, something to basically bring them out of their shell. I don't know if I'm saying it right, Quincy. You'd be better at this, but I think you understand what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, sir. It has no barriers on age, color, creed, or anything. It's the person who, you know, sometimes people find what they want to do at a young age, you know, and they're able to do it. Sometimes people don't find what they're truly passionate about until a little later in their life. And depending on what it is that they're doing, they can still accomplish those goals. But, you know, that's one of the things that I really, really like about the I Believe in Me movement. It's not locked down to an age or color or creed or even a profession. Whatever it is that you really want to do in life, if you have the passion to go at it and you find the correct coaching at the right time, you can make it happen.
And another important factor is, and I don't know if I Believe in Me helps in this regard, is figuring out for the young people what it is they want to do. How hard is that to do, to figure out what it is that you want to do? How do you know? How do you know? Like, I know you spoke about it. You know, if you love doing this, that's what you should do for a living. But how can young people figure out what it is they love to do?
Right now we have the internet, Google. When I first started, I wanted to be a doctor because I thought that was where all the money was. And I know I didn't want to just work with regular folks. You know, I looked at going into sports medicine. That was too long in school for me. You know, really just kind of researching what it is you enjoy doing. Find out, you know, what jobs and what career paths you can really learn to take that to the next level, and research. And another thing, like I said, as far as finding coaches, find people who are doing what you want to do and ask them the tough questions, because you can research, you know, until you're blue in the face. But find somebody who's actually doing what it is that you want to do. And once you get down to the nitty gritty of it, you might find out that you really don't enjoy doing that. Like, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. I'm not going to school for 8 or 10 years before I can start getting paid. That went in one ear and out the other once I sat down and did the research and had an opportunity to talk to some folks that were doctors.
And that's an important factor. Really, it's important to get to know what you want to do, unless you have an unlimited amount of funds to pay for school that you don't need. All right. Well, I think we've basically covered it all, Quincy. I appreciate you being on. Please pass on to D. No hard feelings that he wasn't on. I hope that he can find time to be on again another time. And I hope to speak to you again a little more in the future. But
yes,
I will be be following you.
Okay. And just to give you a little more, the website is actually I Believe in Me, 1440.bigcartel.com. And that would take you right to the website, where you can take a look at the mission statement, you can take a look at my bio, you can take a look at the video, and also if you feel passionate enough about that, you can also order shirts and bands right off of that site as well.
That's right. Okay, thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It was an eye-opening experience, and I hope to talk to you and hopefully Dee in the near future. Please tell him, accept my apologies if you had difficulty me getting a hold of him. I don't know what happened. Whatever happened, no hard feelings. Hopefully we can get her done another time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on the show.
My pleasure, truly. So
Thank you. That was
Quincy T. Hart. Quincy T. Hart of I Believe in Me, 1440. And an interesting experience, let me tell you, talking to him. Let me see now. Adam, Aaron, we can get to, I've got Jarrett, who's losing his mind trying to get on the air with us. You know what? The phones are being weird tonight. I hope I'm not sounding like I'm making excuses, but they have been truly weird tonight. And like, he's really frustrated. I got a message from him on Facebook. He's really frustrated trying to get on the show, and he's having difficulty. Should I wait a little while before I call him?
He may be listening to the show as well. That may be interfering. I'm not 100% sure. I know he was really excited to be on the show.
Well, I'm calling him right now.
Okay.
Let's see if it works. He's in the bubble right now.
That sounds like the boy.
Try.
Are you here? Jarrett.
For a second there.
Hello.
Yeah, we got him.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Hey, Jarrett. How's it going, buddy?
Good, good. Give me one sec, okay?
Oh, really?
After all this time,
after all that, you're going to say,
you caught me at an indisposed moment.
Okay, well, listen.
Dude, if I hear a flush, I'm going to be disappointed.
Your moment. Oh, God. Hey, let me get rid of his mic.
La, 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 la.
Let me
no,
get
no, no.
rid of
his What'd you
mic?
Do, Jerry? No. You leave and you get Nat to flush when you're out of the room.
No. Dude. I had to take his mic off. I'm going to give him time to complete his session. All right. So we'll see. We'll bring Jarrett back. Hopefully now Jarrett is completed his moment.
Hopefully the issue is successfully resolved.
Yes, hopefully.
And I sincerely apologize. This is live radio, and we're who we are.
No, hey, don't
Thanks for calling, buddy.
You're welcome. We've had problems with the phone today. I had D. Webb was supposed to be on. I had his buddy on, but I couldn't get D. I don't know what happened. I hope he's okay. And you know, I was joking. I said to Quincy, I said, did he get cold feet? He goes, nah, D's not the kind of guy to get cold feet. I said, no kidding. 40,000 people in the stands. He's not going to get cold feet. He's played in front of lots of people and been under a lot more pressure than this show is. So I assume something happened with his phone or something happened personally that required his attention. So I pray for him having no difficulty. I hope everything works out. So, gentlemen, get me up to date here. Let's start with you, Jarrett, since you just came on here. Tell me, what's going on with The Rock this week?
Well, what's happening? We've got a big game coming up. You know what? I mean, there's so much. They're doing the Lucky Sevens promo with Colin Doyle. I speculate, Colin, you know, he's played a lot of years, and he wants to end on a championship year. So they're doing the Lucky Sevens. Everyone who comes in, they can contact The Rock and get a $7 ticket in the upper bowl. So that's a big game. But more than that, if they win this game, and Aaron, you can help me with this, if they win this game, they're getting a home playoff berth. Is that right?
As far as I'm aware, I was listening to the radio a little earlier tonight, and they had Coach Troy on. I believe if they win this game, they clinch not only first place in their division, but I believe they have a very good chance of clinching first overall, which would mean that we would have home floor advantage, provided we don't lose, throughout the entire playoffs.
How exciting is that?
Oh, you know, it's just a little bit exciting. I haven't seen a Rock playoff win on a home floor in a while now. So, you know, losing out last year to Rochester was a bit disappointing. 2011 was a great year, don't get me wrong, but I'm really hoping that they walk it to Rochester on Sunday, which is coincidentally National Tartan Day.
Well, I'm wearing my kilt, Aaron. How about you?
Oh, I will definitely be wearing the colors.
My daughters go to Catholic school. I guess I could use one of their skirts.
I don't know.
It's a kilt,
daughter.
Sir. It's a kilt.
Do I have to shit?
Balls
do I have
that
to,
big. Don't
do I
go
have
under
to,
don't go under kilt, sir.
Do
don't
I have
go
to
under
put
skirts,
pull
sir.
Them together, Frank.
Do I have to shave my legs?
No, sir.
Everybody
no,
likes
sir.
The design.
They like a hairy man.
Yeah, don't shave him, man. It's what keeps you warm in the winter. Just don't step over snowbanks.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll just go to my neighbor. He's a weightlifter. I'll get one of his small weights and I'll hang it off my waist.
Here, go, Frank. Go for that one.
you know that those weights are a donut hole, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I got nothing against kilts, so let's not leave that out there. I think kilts are a wonderful garb that, you know, has a definite, you know, for every kilt, I always see a bagpipe.
So here's the long-standing joke, though. It's why do Scotsmen prefer kilts?
Absolutely.
Because sheep get nervous when they hear a zipper.
Oh, God. And then if you wear rubber boots, that's twice as bad.
They're called sheep boots, hey, Willie.
Not going down, Francis. Stop it there. Stop now.
Okay. Let's move on to a more serious subject. Okay. We discussed the fact that a big game's coming up. Be more
absolutely.
Be more explicit about the big game that's coming up.
Well, we've got playoff implications, and we can talk. Why am I talking like a Scotsman? Aaron, you're the stats guy. Lay it out on the line.
Well, let's look at the way the season has broken down so far. The Toronto Rock are currently sitting at 9-5 with two games left. That means they've got a game this weekend on Sunday against Rochester, and then the fourth playing against Philadelphia. So, this is a great opportunity for them. As it currently stands in the East Division, Buffalo is most assuredly out of the playoffs at this point. They switched formats this year. I believe it's top eight that get in, and it's basically playdowns from there. So what we're looking at here is the Toronto Rock are currently sitting at 9-5. They can potentially first overall with two wins, bringing them to 11-5. This means that the two leading teams on the opposite side, and this has actually been really a kind of a very nice surprise for me. On the Western Division, Calgary Roughnecks and Edmonton Rush are both sitting at 8-5. Now, Edmonton made it all the way to the finals last year and lost out to Rochester. I'm glad that we're not seeing some sort of slump out of them this year to drop them out of contention, which is very often what happens to a lot of teams when they've had a little bit of success during the regular season and in the playoffs the year before. What I'm actually seeing out of the Rush right now, based on the team that they have, the goaltending, the stellar goaltending they've been getting out of Aaron Bold, the rise of Mark Matthews as a prominent offensive figure for them, I really honestly believe he's got Rookie of the Year honors completely sewn up.
Agreed.
It's been absolutely fantastic. I'm seeing something out of them that's reminiscent to the Washington Stealth when they and Toronto both went to the finals and both played each other back to back.
We'll get back to you just as soon as we can. Thanks for calling. Have a great day.
Hi, Bruce. It's Frank. Listen, we're on the air here. We thought we'd leave you a message, guys. You want to add anything to Bruce Barker's voicemail?
Hey, Bart, miss you, bro.
Archie, we love you, baby. Go, Rock, go.
Go,
Rock, go.
Go.
Find yourself a kill.
Okay, Bruce. Thanks for not answering the phone.
He's going to be pissed when he hears that.
Play-by-play man for the Toronto Rock.
Absolutely stellar over the years. The team has not performed well when he has not been in the booth.
Well, you know what? I always forget about this. We should get him to come on one. And trouble is Bruce does an early show in the morning. And, it'd be really tough. But I think we should talk him into being on the show one of these Fridays before the end of the season. What do you think?
We'll do it for a playoff. We'll do it for a championship game.
All right. By then, we'll be there doing the show from there.
I agree.
Well, I was really hoping actually to get a chance to do it live from Dolly's, but unfortunately things didn't quite work out last week. But
no, last week was we'll get her done. We'll get her done.
But I'll tell you, it was kind of fun talking to you, Frank, at the Overdraft. You met the Lynn, one of our favorite Buffalo Brigade fans. Well, and we say Brigade because that's the fan club of the Buffalo Bandits. But you had a good talk with her, eh?
Yeah. She's a big fan, and it's always nice to listen to fans. I saw the picture that Aaron took. All right. Yeah, I agree. Pretty lady. Yeah, that works for me. But the more important thing was that she's a big lacrosse fan.
Absolutely.
And has been a lacrosse fan. In fact, I like the fact that she told me the story. And maybe this is something that's said about lacrosse. Like her boyfriend said, hey, let's go to a lacrosse game. And it sounded to me like she didn't really know anything about lacrosse. She went with him. Her and the Bandits are still together. The boyfriend, not so much.
That is so true. I'll be honest with you, Frank. It actually take long.
She's a solid woman. She's a good lady. She's awesome. And that's what you can say about a lot of these National Lacrosse League fans, because, and Aaron, I hope you agree with this, we get together every year at something called the Fan Cup.
Yes,
and at
sir.
The Fan Cup, these are fans that form teams for each team. So the Toronto Rock, the Roadies are the fan team for the Toronto Rock. And the women's team is the Lacrosstitutes, and that's the women's team for the Toronto Rock. And I'm telling you, the Lacrosstitutes, in many ways, have better stick skills than the Roadies, and it's just an incredible tournament we plan every year. This year's it's in Toronto. And Aaron, take that away, or Frank,
Aaron,
go ahead.
Aaron.
Sorry, Jared. Sorry to jump in there. It's actually in Rochester this year on July 13th.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Aaron?
Yeah?
Does this guy always do innuendo that's kind of obvious?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to go there with lacrosstitutes and stick skills, but, you know, hey.
I mean, it begs the asking. I mean...
Well, no, to be completely honest with you, Frank, the women's game is more about ball handling ability. It's more about brute force. I know it sounds absolutely horrible, but it is actually true. You will find a higher degree of women able to handle the ball and the stick very, very well when it comes to cross, because the focus is not on as much physicality there as it is for the men's game.
Let me ask
you. Can
then.
I say something?
No. My turn.
Okay.
Can I go first, Gareth? Now, I understand that lacrosse goalies have a hard time, but it must be really difficult to score a female goalie because they have a lot more extra padding.
Okay. This is just going way downhill, dude.
Stop now.
It's
Frank.
Too late. It's too late. It's Friday night. It's almost midnight. And
Precious, you're going to come to Rochester. We're going to put you in a roadie jersey, and you're going to see how easy it is to score on a lacrosse-titute.
Okay. So when is this going to happen? When am I going on this adventure?
July 13th.
That may be tough.
Oh, we could have put Siberian Alaska 2015 and you would have said that.
No. No, God. No.
Frank, you're starting to sound like your friend is the colonel.
Oh, hang on a second. Stop with the chicken wing contest here. Does not the football season, isn't the football season underway at that time?
We're getting there.
And I have season tickets.
For which
That's all
team?
I'm saying. Hey, tonight for the Ticats, but every other night the Argos.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Frank. When we started Fan Cup back in 2002, the whole tournament really started as an excuse for lacrosse fans to get together and drink. There really wasn't anything motivating behind it. The whole idea.
I find that so hard to believe.
I know, really, eh?
Really?
For beers.
Yeah. That's exactly why. All right. Well, hey, listen. People.
But the scary thing is, Frank, we have fans from Boston, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Rochester.
Albany.
Minnesota. Minnesota fans take a bus to any tournament there is here. Toronto.
I got to tell you, when it comes to the lacrosse stick, I'm a virgin.
Well, we're going to break your cherry, brother. Oh, in silence. That's good.
Turn off his mic so you won't hear him laughing.
No. I'm showing some restraint here.
You know what? And,
hey, listen.
We won't take you to the fan cup.
My cherry is fine enough.
Partly invitational, which is a respect game that we play every season, and any Fan Cup teams that want to come up and join us, but we don't have refs, we don't keep score, it's just everyone throwing their sticks in the center, and we play a game. So it's a Les Bartley Invitational. It's coming up, and we're going to do it at the track this year. I'm making the call right now, Aaron. We're doing it at the track.
Well, excellent.
Unlike Snow White, my cherry doesn't have 7 dents in it.
Oh!
Hi ho, hi ho! It's off to work we go, Frank.
Oh my! That's all I'm saying. Oh my!
You know, when you drag somebody into a ditch, make sure who you're dragging in. Don't ever drag me in again, because I feel at home here.
Frank, you are solid.
No, you know what? It's Friday night. Friday night free for all. What can I say? No, in all seriousness, I'd be more than willing to come by and check it out and wear the uniform in pride if I wore it. And I'd want to at least get a couple of lessons on how to handle how to use the lacrosse stick without laughter inserted.
Don't worry, Frank. We'll show you exactly where to put your hands on the shaft so that you can cradle the ball nicely.
Okay, and the whole point of this is that I want to save some of the biggest laughter for my using the lacrosse stick.
Well, what I can do, Frank, I actually have a DVD recording from 2005 here from when we played in Oshawa. I can bring that by for you sometime if you want. You can watch me make a couple hits on Philadelphia players while I'm playing goal.
Okay, there's that. And okay, so I guess, Jarrett, you're going to get me a lacrosse stick, and I guess I'll have to start heaving the ball against the school wall.
My friend, I will not only get you a lacrosse stick, I will make sure you have a Roadies jersey. Do you have a hockey helmet?
I used to. Not sure that I do anymore.
Not. I'll set you up with a kit, and you will have fun, and you'll come out to our practices. Now, you mentioned things about your health issue. I do not want to impinge on anything that would put your health at risk. Are you okay to run around for a little while or what?
Yeah. I will just buy a little extra insurance for that weekend.
I got to be honest with you, Frank. I don't think you have anything to worry about. Most of us walk.
Oh, in my case, it would be roll.
Well, hey, technically round is a shape, so that's okay.
And that would be my shape.
Can I digress for a minute, Frank? Because I know you love it when I digress.
Oh, it's always, especially when I hear the tinkle in the sinkle.
Wow. Okay. Well, to everyone listening, we've got, we're optimistic. We'd love for Rochester fans and Toronto fans to come to Joe Badali's. And Frank, you've been there. You know, they give great food. Come to Joe Badali's before the game on Sunday, and if you meet me, the Grand Poobah of the Roadies, or Aaron, you will get your Roadies membership card, which gives you 20% off your entrees and 585 steam whistle pints. I hope I'm allowed to say that on radio. And then we're going over to the Rock Roadies Ruckus. Everyone meet us at the 200 level of the Real Sports Bar. And we are going to go in, we're going to drink a glass of water, and we're going to wait for the Rock players to come and thank them for a great season and wish them all the best for the playoffs. I'm done. You guys speak.
Okay, first of all, I'm sorry to say, Aaron, I just got messaged by Michelle. I hope you enjoyed your relationship with her.
Oh, great. It's over. Michelle, I'm going to miss you. I really am.
She went on my cover page, the show page, and she said, Aaron's girlfriend here. What are you guys, 12?
Yes, LOL. We are. 12 going on 40. Hey, you know what? It's proof positive that somebody's actually listening.
Michelle is awesome.
If I can wax sentimental for a second here, she's the best thing that's happened to me in a long, long time.
I don't know.
And I'm grateful for every
Aaron,
minute.
Aaron, I think the horse has left the barn. I think it's too late, and that would be too little, too late. Your immaturity has ruined it for you.
Hank, I love you.
Hey, listen,
Michelle, I love you more.
I got to know Michelle on a GO train ride.
She's a good girl, eh?
Actually, she probably, if you look under better half, she's probably in the dictionary.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just wondering how I managed to luck out and end up with her in the first place.
Like I said, better half. Hey, listen, I'm being serious. Michelle's a wonderful lady. We were acting like we're 12, Michelle. I apologize only to the extent that you heard what we said. I don't apologize for what we said because what we did, and I'm not gonna lie to you. I said it willingly, but I do apologize if we offended anybody while we're here on the air. But I'm not gonna make excuses. So we've got our friends, the Rock, trying to finish first overall. Trying to get to the point where they will, without any losses, be the home team at every... Well, they will be the home team in every playoff game they play. Once eliminated, it will be playing.
But, Frank, you gotta get big ups. They're going to do it. Like, this is a team over
the past 12 years that have won six championships. No other Toronto team has done that, and I'm really pissed off at the Toronto sports media that they downplay it. You know, you walk into a real sports bar and they go, "Oh, you're the Rock fans." Yeah, it's upstairs. And I heard that from some very reliable people. This is disgusting. These are championship players. These are world-class guys, and I'm tired of this.
There's nothing you can do about it. There really isn't.
You're right. But gosh darn it, I don't like it.
Well, you know what? Listen. Look at it this way, because I'm a guy who struggles with the simplest things. You know, the only time I have the freedom to actually be myself is when I'm on here, because it forces me not to think of what's going on in my life.
God bless you, man. Thank you for having us.
No, my pleasure. Look at it this way. It's your secret, and they're not in on it, and lucky you. You know what I mean? Like, look, I watched the game last night, and bigger than the Leaf game last night. Did you watch the Leaf game last night?
No.
Okay. I don't watch it. Okay. I'm okay with that. Listen, I'm a hockey fan. I'm a Toronto fan, first and foremost. That, you know, because The Rock has Toronto in front of it, it makes it a team that I will follow and I care about. It's my home team, right? The same thing goes with the Raptors. Same thing goes with the Argos. Now, different teams draw me in a little deeper, right, than others, right? Now, hockey is something that's bred in most of us, right? Lacrosse is bred in some of us as well, in the same way, with the same kind of passion, same kind of love, and the same kind of respect.
I just wish more people would grab it. They don't want to. You say cross, and they're like,
"Ugh." Well, you know, you do have to understand that you have a job to do, and by you I mean lacrosse in general has a job to do. Unfortunately, you're so right. Here's a team that it wins more than it loses, and we're not talking about wins more games than they lose. We're talking about wins more championships than they lose. You know what I mean? Like that's just unheard of in sports, right? They're a very dominant team. Now,
12 years, six championships. What can you say in Toronto?
Well, the problem is that it is a game that isn't promoted in the manner that other games are. And if you give me an opportunity here, I'll explain my theory. Here's my theory. My theory is that teams that you promote a league by making everybody believe that it's well-liked, a team, by it being well-liked. You promote a league by saying how great a league it is. When you've got the media on your side, you can craft those things. All right?
Amen.
And when you consider that the media in Canada is sliced into two giant pieces of pie, which probably roughly work out to maybe, gosh, if I said this, I don't know if I'd be lying. About 80% of the media is split between however each has, Bell and Rogers.
Yeah.
You talk every...
God forbid you said that.
No, every...
It's a reality statement.
Every platform, considering every platform, that be telephones, internet, television, radio, you know... newspapers, you know, those guys have about 80% of everything. Then you got a little bit of reach with global, you know, CanWest or whatever, and then you've got Standard Broadcasting. No, they're gone.
Look.
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Q107. You know,
yeah.
They're in that, right? Chorus, right? You've got Chorus, and they specialize mostly in radio, but they have a television station too as well. You know, but it they're just, the rest of them are like 20% of the media. So,
right.
you got the lease, right? You got the lease last night. I'm going to explain this to you in a way that I hope you'll understand my opinion. Last night, the Leafs had an incident happen where Lupul got a concussion.
Smacked, eh? The Flyers, just that was a brutal hit.
Well, what wasn't mentioned, nobody looked at the hit. The media here doesn't want to make trouble because they're partners in the league. They don't want to make the league look bad, so they don't say anything about the hit with any kind of relevance. Now, here's how I'm going to explain, and I'm nobody special. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy who likes hockey. What wasn't mentioned was the fact that Rosehill left his feet.
Yeah, and that's illegal.
He left his feet. That's charging right off the hopper. He left
his feet.
They refer to the big reference that when they want to hide something, the only time you ever hear the league talk about a hit is when they're trying to massage the public because they know the decision they made. Like when a Ranger does something, it's one thing. When a Leaf does something, it's a different thing, as what happened recently. So he was off his feet. He made contact with Lupul's head with his shoulder.
Yeah.
All right? And he jumped in the air. So he wouldn't have hit Lupul. Lupul wouldn't have hit his shoulder if he was skating on the ice.
That's right.
All right? That didn't get mentioned. Yeah, that didn't get mentioned. That didn't get mentioned. Now, because, and then TSN's doing the game. Was it TSN or no? Sportsnet's doing the game. And clearly, the puck carrier, being Kessel, was tripped.
Yeah.
Clearly, was tripped.
Yeah.
No call on the play. They didn't replay that there was a trip or anything. So how come the home team here in Toronto doesn't make a big deal? I spent time in other cities, and something like that would have been played 27 times. They would have called lawyers and everybody in, any other team, and it would have been a big. So why wasn't there any kind of notification or replay of that? And why wasn't the definition of an illegal hit put out there after that hit that Lupul took? And here's my reasoning. A big corporation doesn't want to rock the boat. They don't want people to talk about it on the air because they feel that they want to control the conversation. All right? And when the media
they want to control dealers. They want everyone to watch.
Absolutely. They want everybody to watch, and they don't want, and in their opinion, they don't want to hear any extracurricular conversation, which is why the Leafs and the Rogers got rid of Burke, because Burke makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
What they want is they want a quiet little thing, and don't kid yourself. The Leafs hopefully are discussing the hit, because their guy who got hit had a 2-game suspension for something that was pretty marginal. And their guy got tripped in the middle of having the puck in the offensive zone and a missed penalty on that play. So, you know, and the way Rogers will handle it, they'll handle it behind the scenes if they handled it at all, right? And that's the only thing I'm going to say. I mean, it was a play where the guy tripped the Kessel. They went and they scored.
The other thing that you have to be aware of is the fact that is who owns the Leafs?
Rogers and Bell.
And who currently has the broadcasting rights?
We're thinking about Rogers and Bell. A big animal here.
Rogers is going to do anything to fuck over, pardon my French, the multi-million-dollar deals that they currently have going with the NHL over something like one of their hockey properties when they have 6 other hockey teams that they can broadcast across North America. Then you're out of your mind. They're never gonna do anything like that. They're never gonna rock the boat. They're never gonna stick up for players. Broadcasters, in my opinion, and I'm just gonna throw this out there, Frank. Broadcasters should never own sports teams.
Amen, Frank. Amen, Darren.
100% counterproductive.
That's why you're the co-president of the Rock Roadies. You got it on board, buddy.
It's detrimental to the game. It is detrimental to the sport. It's detrimental to the players. I mean, let's be honest, the Lupul hit, yes, that was dirty. The Kessel trip, yes, that happened, it wasn't called. The Hall interference on Reimer for the third goal, oh my God, yes. He grabbed the butt end of his stick and spun the goalie and nothing is called. But they're not going to make waves over that because, A, they can get fined for it. B, you know what? They own the Leafs. It's a huge chunk of advertising. If they end up losing that contract, if Rogers ends up losing that, that's a huge blow to the team. I mean, granted, you know what? It's a combination of Bell and Rogers that own the team, so it's Sportsnet and TSN. They've basically got their asses covered any way you look at it. The only people that really lose out on this entire deal with Rogers and Sportsnet owning the Leafs is the CBC.
They're your, your categories.
The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Canada as a nation, loses as a whole. Because, you know what, the Toronto Maple Leafs are owned by the two companies that have a sports monopoly in this country. That, I think, is the worst part of it, and I think Aries agrees with me, if you can hear him in the background.
Oh, Aries agrees with you 100%. He's been saying, yeah, right on. Well, you know, when we talk about The Rock and we talk about making a team popular,
I don't mean to interrupt, but Michelle just came up with this.
Okay.
Hockey has been branded. By that I mean hockey is Canada. It doesn't matter that lacrosse is Canada's national summer sport. Hockey has been branded as Canada. We own that. The women's, the junior national team, the Olympics, it's all Canada. Canada, 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 hockey, hockey, hockey. What people don't realize is the game of lacrosse was played hundreds of years before hockey. It was played by the natives here, who the government has paid short shrift to and screwed over and marginalized 100%. And it's
a great game
that he's left by the wayside.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this is what I'm going to say right now. And I don't agree with you for this reason, and my proof in that is that the thing about these giant corporations, right? They think they can control people. Here's what I'm going to say to you: the best thing I can see from the Jays being owned by Rogers, the best thing I see happening, is that Rogers tells people on their telephones that the Jays are playing. Tells them on their morning radio shows that they own, tells them on their afternoon TV shows that they own, the TV networks they own, tells them on their other stations, tells, you know, fans, anyone that, about the Jays on all their other stations that they have, tells them in breaks with the broadcaster being Rogers with their set. They're doing something on the Leafs and they go to a set at Rogers Stadium for the Jays. What I'm going to say here is this. This is an interesting little situation. If with all this power and potency and information being such a respected thing and power of controlling the marketplace, and the Jays don't draw more than 30,000 people a game this year, guess what? It ain't that powerful after all, and thank God it isn't.
Amen.
I want to just mention something here, Frank. I think you may actually get a kick out of this. Back in 2005, The Rock were playing in the semifinals before heading
to the... Yes, sir. Speaking, Aaron, you know, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
Amen, brother.
It was the day after the Jays' home opener. The Rock were playing on a Saturday night. There were more fans in the Air Canada Center for a lacrosse game than there were in Skydome for a Jays game.
Yeah.
Well,
and the coverage on that and the sports was nil because Rogers, because Sportsnet had screwed The Rock over and we were relegated to The Score.
And God forbid, Canada's national sport got some attention. It just drives me bananas, Frank. Oh, my goodness.
Dudes. The only place you're going to solve the problem that you've highlighted here, and your problem that you're highlighting is legitimate. It's a legitimate problem, okay? It has everything to do whatsoever with media and the dispensation of licenses, okay?
Can I say one thing, Frank?
Yes?
Thank you for giving The Rock, through Aaron and I, a voice on your show. Thank you.
Well, listen... It's not a very loud voice, but it's a voice that exists. And it's...
Who gives a shit? Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, look.
The ocean can cause a tidal wave, so thank you, my friend.
Well, you're welcome, and I believe in the Toronto Rock, and I believe in the Argos, and I believe in the Ticats, and I believe in every other CFL team and every other, you know.
Yeah!
I believe in that.
Team that's not owned by Rogers and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Well, you know, my thing is that Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment own the Toronto Raptors, who have been given so many passes over the years. I mean, it's incredible how many passes they've been given. And the only reason that is that, no offense to Rock fans and lacrosse fans, but there are a heap and help and helpful, of basketball fans in Toronto. And it's much like the soccer team they own. And it's much like what they've done with the Leafs over the years, is that they've been fortunate enough to, no matter how much they screw up the team that they own, there are plenty of fans that'll buy what they're selling.
Oh, hold on. I have to bring up something interesting here in connection with that, though, Frank.
Go ahead.
You know how the Maple Leafs said that they sent out that big mea culpa? That whole "we're guilty, we're sorry, we screwed up"?
Oh, about the strike or the
yes.
lockout? The lockout.
No, no. The whole crap-ass season that they had last year.
Oh, okay.
That open letter they published in the Toronto Star.
Yeah, Brian Burke.
Here's what's really funny. This year, everybody that was a Maple Leaf season ticket holder got a quote-unquote free game.
Cool.
What actually happened was this. The Maple Leafs, when they realized there was going to be a lockout, started refunding people. Every time they hit a milestone, they would refund people for more games. So they finally got to a point where they refunded people, and they refunded people to the point where there were only 23 games left in the season. Then, wonder of wonders, a deal was struck. So that now there were, instead of 23 games, there were 24 games. Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment can't turn around and say, oh, hey, guess what? We kind of overgave money back to you guys. So we're going to have to ask for the game back. So that became their quote-unquote free game. It wasn't out of the goodness of their hearts. It was because some bean counter in the office had screwed up. So if you're a season ticket holder of the Leafs and you're listening to this and you think you got a free game out of it, BS, you did not. It was because some bean counter went derp on his calculator and gave you back more money than you should have, quote unquote. There was no earthly way that they can charge 17,000 seats to corporations an extra game because the corporations would have revolted. Never mind the individual season ticket holders whose voice is non-existent in this entire matter. You know how many tickets they release for every game, Frank? I'm going to give you a hint. It's less than 100. Less than 100 frickin' seats for a Leaf game.
That you're talking about that are unsold.
Yeah. No, that they release, that aren't bought by season ticket holders or already paid for by licenses or bulk ticket deals.
Oh, okay.
Heavy last-minute club. The last-minute club email that I got 3.5 weeks ago was, hey, guess what? We've got 62 tickets available. Call this number for Ticketmaster.
They're supposed to have more than that, aren't they? Isn't there a rule on how many tickets they can sell and how many they have to keep for walk-up crowd?
I believe they're supposed to keep a minimum of 2,000 on hand.
Like they
but
can't
I'll
sell
be figured if I've ever seen any more than 150 tickets come available through their last-minute club.
Well, that's an interesting situation to discuss, let me tell you. So we're digressing again. So now, who do you think the Rock are going to play in the playoffs? Who does it look like they're going to play in the playoffs?
Where are we looking at, Aaron? What are we doing?
Well, give me just a second to whip up the standings here, and I will give you my take on what we're looking at here. Now, as it currently stands, hello. Sorry, everything's taking a little extra long to load.
Say hello to Michelle.
As it currently stands in the East, the Toronto Rock are 9-5, Rochester is 5-6, Philadelphia is 5-7, and Buffalo is 5-8. Buffalo's mathematically eliminated. What we're currently looking at for the top 3 to 4 teams is Toronto, followed by Calgary, followed by Edmonton, followed by give me just a second here, and I'm going to pull the rest of that up. Followed by, I believe, Washington. That's the top four. From there, we're looking at Minnesota, Colorado. Minnesota's at 5-7. Colorado is at 5-8. And from the other side, we're looking at Rochester at 5-6 and Philadelphia at 5-7. As it currently stands, if the Rock finished the season in first place, which is what I sincerely hope for, we've got the game against Rochester coming up, and then after that, we have the game against Philadelphia, which is going to be nationally televised on CBS. That was actually the game they had to move the start time for. It looks like at this point, Toronto is probably going to be facing off against probably going to be facing off against Minnesota.
So really?
Team.
That's your prediction.
That's my prediction right now for the first round is going to be Toronto, Minnesota.
And how do they fare with those guys?
So far, head-to-head against Minnesota, we've actually done relatively decent this year. And when I say relatively decent, I mean...
we've won one, they've won one.
As it stands, we actually beat them 13-12. And we actually, that's actually the only game we played against them, I think, so far this year. I'm just scrolling back through what I've got here. And we lost them in overtime 13-12, sorry. So it was we actually split with them 1-1.
Yeah, Frank, I'm going to tell you something. My thing is this. There's some young, fast teams. And what I've seen, and it's only in watching TSN2 and TSN and the broadcast and live broadcast, Edmonton has came on strong. And Aaron, I think you'll agree with this. Edmonton's came on strong. You got Edmonton and Minnesota who are just ferocious. And then Rochester's built a juggernaut with some really amazing players. But Aaron, I think the boys are going to come out Sunday and they're going to thunder it. They're going to come out to Rochester and they're going to beat the shit out of them. And but on the West, Edmonton's scary. I saw them and they've gelled with these 9 road games because of the Brier. 9 road games. I think they're going to come out flying. But what do you say?
Edmonton has actually managed to shape themselves into a team that's a genuine, incredible playoff threat at this point.
They're awesome.
They are a delight to watch. If you're looking for pure entertainment value and high-scoring games and goals that will just make your jaw drop, they are the team right now. Like I mentioned,
but Aaron,
the goaltending that they've been getting out of Aaron Bold and the play that they've been getting out of Mark Matthews has been absolutely astounding. It's exceeded everybody's expectations. Urban, I think, has to be over the moon with the way that they've been playing at this point.
But you cannot say, I love my Rock. They're playing the best lacrosse they've played in years. But when I think of Edmonton, I think ferocious.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Jared. That team gives me the willies. I'll be honest with you.
Ferocious.
If Toronto's play against them, I would be seriously concerned. I really would be. But what I'm looking at here right now to be, and these are my predictions for the first round of the playoffs. I'm looking Toronto, Minnesota. I'm looking Edmonton, Rochester, which is going to be in the semifinals. It's going to be basically a rematch of the Champions Cup from last year. I'm looking at Calgary and I'm going to say Washington and Philadelphia and, oh, pick a team. Philadelphia. Actually, sorry. Let me revise that. It's definitely going to be Toronto and Minnesota because I don't think Minnesota is going to finish higher than 8th this year. So that's a definite right off the top.
Oh.
It's Calgary and Edmonton. Those two are definitely going to play each other. from there, we're looking at Rochester and Washington. Philly, I think, is Philly, I think, may surprise some people when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're not playing strong, buddy.
No, well, you know what? They have a tendency to crap the bed, but I think the Philadelphia-Colorado game is actually going to be really interesting to watch.
Oh, I think Knuckles will be thrown on that game.
I think you may be right.
But the cat has a lot to say.
Oh, you're quiet. Open the bottle of wine and talk to us, my friend.
Oh no, I'm not doing wine tonight. Wine's not the. Well, why don't we? We can't see the CBS network, right?
I don't know if you'll be able to get CBS Sports, but I do know that the games will also be carried on the Lacrosse Network live streaming on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So you should be able to go to YouTube and type in the Lacrosse Network as a channel and be able to pull them up. And they usually broadcast most of the games live.
Okay. Now, what feed do they use?
The arena feed, which means that whatever's going up on the...
Yeah. I gotcha. So we get to hear Bruce Barker then.
Most definitely.
Right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what? We only got 3 minutes left. 3.5 minutes. And I need a minute and a half to do my closing. One at a time. You got a minute apiece. The what you hope to see happen in the next couple of weeks and your biggest important issue with lacrosse in 1 minute.
Jeremy,
take the lead.
All right. Fine, it'll be me then. The Toronto Rock needs to make sure that they don't have another stinker. They can't afford to play loose and think that, oh, hey, we got a playoff spot, we can sit back and relax. That is going to be their Achilles heel. It traditionally has been. As long as we can avoid also against both Rochester and Philadelphia, what I like to call our 7-minute swoon, we should
yes,
be
sir.
Able to first.
Your Jared. Turn, buddy.
My turn is... To the Toronto Rock players, if they're listening, don't shit the bed on Sunday because you haven't been playing games well on Sunday, and we believe in you. So let's get this done on Sunday. Sir Frank, thank you for letting us be on your show.
Okay. Jarrett Harris, who had difficulty dialing his phone, getting on the air. Aaron, thank you for being on as well. And for the rest of you that have been listening to the program, we hope we didn't hurt your feelings with some of the snazzy stuff we were pulling. But actually, my biggest thing for The Rock is that I wish them much success, and I wish that people would watch the games and look at them as entertainment. And if you do, I think you'll be entertained, and I don't doubt that you'll come back to watch them again.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, my man.
Frank.
Okay. Bye, guys. All right. We'll
good
do
night.
The extra now. We'll say goodbye. Well, one more. Well, you know what? I'll do the mission state. No, I'll just go over to the extra. All right. It's been nice being on for you folks. We hope you enjoyed the short time we had together, 2 hours. And I hope to hear from you again. Now, we'll be back again Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, I think this Monday, maybe we'll do a history thing. That's probably what we'll be talking about, history in CFL. Wednesday, hopefully we'll have another player for you. We'll have definitely two or players that'll be vying for the draft in the CFL. Thank you for tuning in. My name's Frank Stanishi. This is Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. See you next time.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m., Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.
Buy again for another week.